We're reading from Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 13 today. Hope you have your Bibles. Let's read this text. It says, "Behold, my servant, he will deal prudently, and he will be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, and his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so he will sprinkle many nations. The kings will shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them, they shall see. And that what they have not heard, they will consider." If you recall, when Jesus began his ministry, he began by an introduction. And if you remember, he was introduced by John the Baptist. And you remember the introduction of Jesus by John the Baptist was this very expression, or this very first word that we find in verse 13. The word is, "Behold." You can see John the Baptist standing by the river out in the desert, pointing with his finger, pointing to Jesus. And you remember he said, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God that will take upon him the sins of the world." Here in this text, this is the beginning of what many scholars consider to be the song about God's servant, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This is where God the Father introduces his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to the world. And he introduces Jesus Christ, not as a lamb, but as his servant. And God here says, "Behold, look at my servant." God used this expression one other time in the book of Job. Remember when Satan comes before God, God says, "Behold, have you considered my servant Job?" So this is God's introduction of his Son, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah. And he goes on, and in chapter 53 and in chapter 4 and on, describing the suffering Messiah, the suffering King that came, the suffering Jesus Christ who died for us. Earlier in this chapter, if you read it carefully, you will notice that there is a description of another king that will come. A king that will come in glory and splendor. A king that will come to reign. He will bring salvation. He will bring joy. He will bring music and song because of the salvation that he brings. And so the Jewish scholars, as they read this chapter, they split it into two groups. And they accepted the first part as their coming Messiah, the Messiah that would come as a king in glory. And they rejected the rest of it, and the rest of chapter 53 that speaks about the suffering Messiah that would come. We, of course, know otherwise. Jesus himself came, and Jesus himself explained to us why he came. We read in Mark, we read in all the Gospels, in fact, that Jesus, quoting the scripture, he says, "The Son of Man did not come for humanity to serve him, but he says, I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." So God introduces his Son, the Messiah, as a servant. And Jesus introduces himself to his disciples as the one that came to serve and to even give his life. And so we have these two pictures of the coming Messiah. Looking backwards now and with the explanation of Jesus Christ, we understand one was his first coming to die for us on a cross, to redeem us from our sins, and the second one will be to come and take us to be in his presence and then actually come back to earth with us after the reign of Antichrist and to set up his kingdom. And that is the picture we find here in the beginning of chapter 52. But God introduces Jesus Christ as the Messiah that would come and would suffer, and he introduces him as his servant. Now, in the Old Testament, if you read it very carefully, you will find that God had another servant in the Old Testament. Servant, of course, is anybody that serves God. All the prophets and the priests and many kings were servants. But Israel, as God's chosen people, Isaiah chapter 42, read it at home. Israel was called to be God's servant. And there God says, speaking about Israel, "Look at my servant Israel." Of course, Israel failed in their ministry. They were called to be a light to the nations that surrounded them. They failed. Many times they fell into sin. Historically, that was a pattern that continued up until when they crucified Jesus on the cross. Jesus Christ, by contrast, was a different type of servant. Notice when God introduces him, he says, "Look, behold, examine my servant. He will do prudently." The word prudently means to be successful in what you do because you are right, because you are just, because you are holy, because you are obedient to God. Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father as a servant, even unto the point of death and death on the cross, we read in the New Testament. And so because Jesus humbled himself, we read in Philippians chapter 2, because Jesus became a servant, because Jesus went to the cross, God in turn blessed him and prospered him. And Jesus, his servant, produced or prudently this word. It's a very old English word, but that is the meaning of it. Later on in Isaiah 53, it says God was pleased and Jesus was pleased with his sacrifice that he brought on our behalf on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And so here we have a personal introduction by God the Father of his Son Jesus Christ as his beloved servant. Notice later on, it says he, because of how he acted, because of what he did, because he obeyed and obeyed to the point of cross, God says, because of this, second part of verse 13, he will be, notice three terms. First of all, he will be exalted, he will be extolled, and he will be very high. And I've read this passage many times, but this week I dug out the Hebrew meanings of these words, and it was very interesting what I discovered. First of all, I discovered that the word exalted means to be elevated to a position of authority and power. Very much like in the Old Testament when God would choose a king, the priest would come and pour oil on his head and put the crown on his head. Have you ever seen on TV, maybe a movie, about the coronation of a king? In our society in America, when a president gets elected, he accepts the presidency by taking the oath of office. This is a very similar expression. And so about Jesus Christ, about his servant, God says he will be exalted. He will, literally the word in the Hebrew means to be raised to a position to begin his reign. Extolled, the next word we find him, it means to lift and to carry and to take away from one place to another. And so we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ obediently went to the cross and he suffered and he died and he was buried on the third day, God raises him up. God exalts him through the resurrection. And then 40 days later, on the mount of on the hill, he gathers his disciples, and it says Jesus was lifted up. Literally, he was extolled. And where is he now? Hebrews chapter 1, it says he sits at the right hand of his Father, high and very high and exalted above all things. Philippians chapter 2, because Jesus humbled himself, became a servant to the point of dying on the cross, God has exalted him to the highest point that there is, to his right hand, and now every knee is obligated to bow and every mouth is obligated to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so God, about his servant, about his Son Jesus Christ, says that he will accomplish everything I sent him to do. Jesus, in John chapter 17, when he's praying to the Father, he says, "Behold, I have finished the work you sent me to do. I have accomplished it. I have done it. I have been prudent. I have been successful." And because of this, God exalts him, God extols him, and God has lifted him high, very high. The next verse, 14 and 15, uses two words. Just want to bring your attention. The first word, many were astonished at the vision of Jesus Christ. When you read a description of crucifixion, it was a very cruel and a very painful death. Jesus Christ was beaten. He was beaten with sticks. He was scourged and whipped, and he was spit upon, and his face was so destroyed. Scripture prophetically, written many, many hundreds of years before Jesus Christ, prophesied that men would not recognize Jesus Christ and his face because of how horribly he was beaten. Speaks about this. It says, many will be astonished at you because of the way you would look and the form of man because he was so scourged and so beaten. This word means astonishment. It means to look at a tragedy and to be overwhelmed with it. At the same time, verse 15 says, when he comes again, when he comes in glory, when God exalts him and extols him, he will, it says, sprinkle many nations. And that's a very odd and strange word in our translation. But what it literally means in the Hebrew is it means he will startle everybody when he comes in glory. When we read Revelation, we read that Jesus Christ will come at the end of the time of Antichrist in the darkness when the sun and the moon no longer shine, and Jesus comes on a white horse, and we come to earth with him when he sets up his millennial kingdom. It says, as lightning goes from the east to the west, his coming will lighten up the sky. And so it says he will startle the nations when he comes with his presence, with his glory. It says that at that day, it says the mouths will be stopped up. Nobody will be able to say anything except to bow down and worship and glorify Jesus Christ. And so today you have heard and you've been introduced to God's servant. You have heard about him. Do you believe in him? That's why we gather today to remember what God's servant did on our behalf on the cross. So may God bless his word. Amen.